Hey, welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. Sorry to bust your bubble. We'll continue with this on Thursday. My guest is here, Khadijat. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Sorry, I know today is a difficult day to move around this axis. I heard there's so much disruption of traffic in Ikoyi.
Yes, I apologize.
But I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. I apologize.
Hello, listeners. On your behalf before you came.
Thank you for being patient.
Where are women? I say I have to rush you through now, But we'll do this another time. Okay. But where are women in the dispensation of things now in the political scene?
I think women are in a very precarious position because.
Why is that? I thought you were a champion of women.
Oh, definitely, but it's a tough job. It's not something that it requires us to take a certain decision, personal decision, and political decisions that might affect how we have been formerly living. But we have to give the men the permission to make drastic changes.
And
women, yes, because women have to give them that permission to say, "Hey, look, it's you're finding a way of for us in this world, but let's pivot or let's make some drastic changes." And I'm accepting what comes with that. Yeah.
What can you tell me why you didn't get the ticket? Your party is
the Social Democratic Party.
SDP. Can you tell me why you didn't get the ticket? Is it because you're a woman?
Or because
you're young?
I don't believe so.
You don't believe so?
I don't believe so.
What do you think happened?
I think it's a political contest.
Yeah.
So, we have to take all things into consideration. And if this person won, and, that's how it came out, and, the votes were counted. I got the highest votes a woman has gotten in any election.
The highest votes
in any Nigerian election.
Well, you broke a record there.
Yeah, thank you. However, we also have to accept outcomes. And that's part of your political education and your political maturity. Mm. You have to accept outcomes and you have to be able to work towards a common goal. I was listening somewhere the other day, rather than having a common enemy, you have to have a common purpose. So that's always how...
I like that one.
Yeah, that's always how you have to look at, the situation. And, I always think about it. What we're doing now is what your generation, you guys have, done. Several generations have done this.
Yeah.
And it's an important part, an important step in political journey. So... when we think about it, some of these guys that are in leadership positions now, they started here and they're like, that's why we also have to be careful and learn from history. So you start here and you're like, okay, there's an oppressive government. This is military. This is this. But how would you believe that these are the same people oppressing us now?
Yeah.
How would you believe that? Would you believe that these would be leaders that can kill their citizens? You really believe that these are leaders who can oppress in using all manners of powers? You will not believe that. You will not want to accept that that is what you have become. So it's important that we continue this conversation because we need to bring these things to light.
I must say that I've never felt so bad like now, maybe because I'm older, but I think that even under the military I felt better, apart from the fact that we all said we wanted democratic form of government. But the kind of oppression that you have now, it gets to you personally. I feel like a caged animal, there's a palpable fear out there for as much as voicing opposition, to certain things. There's a mad army out there that's ready to take you on and in their own way or in their own mind tear you to pieces. Unless, of course, but that's the least of it all. It also involves threats, threat to life. You do get a lot of that, threat to your family.
Well,
look at our state. Both of us are from the same state, luckily. Mr. Lamidi is from where?
He's from Oyo State.
We don't know. We'll call him and ask him what Oyo State is like. But look at in our own state, you look around and you think there's only one party running the election. The billboards, the posters, everything, and it's there. It stares you right there in the face.
Yeah.
That bothers me. But let's talk about you again, because apart from representing the woman, sort of, I'm not saying you are a self-appointed representative, but in our own eyes, you represent and also of the youth. The way this election is going, do you think there'll be any difference from what we have? In terms of a structural change in generations, which is very crucial to Nigeria.
We must say. Generational justice.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, I took on the role as the Deputy Director General for the SDP campaign, presidential campaigns.
Okay.
Because, just like I said, to reach your destiny, you have to go through different stages.
Yes.
So you don't just, nothing is about you. And nothing is about self in life anyway.
Mm.
So you always have to ensure that you're contributing, you're valuable, you're creating value, but also that you are working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Working with people is the winning formula. You have to be able to work with people. So if you're in a situation and I had this conversation earlier, if you're in a situation and things are just not fitting right where you are in your position or the work you're given to do, you need to look inwards. It's not the surrounding. You need to look inwards and say, hey, what am I putting together? What am I able to build? It's not about, you know, getting to a place and you want attention, so you destroy or you have to be able to understand that attention comes in different forms. So it's not always the attention that you are seeking that would validate who you are, really.
Mm.
So working with Prince Adebayo is quite inspirational.
Oh, that's your presidential candidate?
Yes.
We haven't heard much of him, though.
Oh, he's talking. You know,
he's talking to you, but you know, we haven't heard much of him.
I understand. We're working on it. This is why I took the job. And it's to create the awareness and to ensure that his message gets out there. What we're hearing from other parties is really comical. It's just a show. Nobody is talking issues. Nobody. This is what he's talking about, and the media.
He's not abusing anybody.
No, we don't play that kind of politics now. And he has, you know, practical solutions, practical policies. Yesterday, we were at the NIIA. The Nigerian Institute for International Affairs.
I saw the other,
it was quite important to speak there because every other candidate is almost like they're just gallivanting.
Was that our own mini Chatham House?
That is our own Chatham House, actually, and it's way better because you are in your own home state, you're your own hometown or your home country, and you can speak to your people. You're not wasting money on flight tickets to take 50 people to go listen to you where you know you have your
own. In a hall where the capacity is 100.
So it's just important that we start thinking about home. We start thinking about growing rather than, you know, thinking someone is going to give you validation outside. We have to do it for ourselves.
Just before, I mean, when you didn't come, I had an open house on, you know, in the news today, the APC has taken the PDP to court on the eligibility of the APC leader, and the APC has done so likewise, and all this. This, for me, it clouds the environment. We don't get to talk.
We're
talking more about issues.
But that's the whole point.
Yes.
Do you think it's
a lack of capacity to address the issues?
Definitely. If you have the capacity, you talk about what you want to do, and you talk about what you can do. If you don't, you have to fill the space up with all these acts. And Nigerian people, even as you're listening to, yes, you can enjoy the show, but let's get back right down to the issues. Because after the election, you have to deal with daily issues that you're confronted with. So it's also a way to push a certain generations in front of us and around us and below us. Because this thing is a combined effort. It's no longer one generation's work to do. We can see that this style of politics is taking us nowhere. It's the shame show. It's a vicious cycle. You do the same things. You hire the right people who can win elections, who you bring out a war chest. They know how to do the right jingle. They know how to create the right campaign. And they go there and it's just to get the person elected, not for any other reason.
Mm.
So they have the machinery. They understand how it goes. The difference between us and any other machinery is that we are people oriented. So you might have people going into, you know, stadiums and packing it filled with people. We don't need to do that. We go into your house where you are. So when we're passing by the carpenter or the, you put down his hammer to look at what we're doing, to understand what we are. So we're not taking you out of your daily lives. We're coming to add. And it's just the same way with how they determine policy. You see people who want to do contracts. Yeah, you go in there and you do 50 or 500 contracts. Huge contracts.
You mentioned something that is quite significant, and I thought about it, I think, on Saturday late at night when I couldn't sleep and the lights had gone and it was a bit hot. And I was asking myself, what is the value of these rallies that are packed full with people who are paid to attend? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that some kind of contradiction?
No, it's the show. It's
so what is it supposed to tell me, the voter?
It's to try to make you feel like everybody is a minority. It's try to make you feel like they have the upper hand, which they don't.
Which they don't.
But the thing about it is, like, I didn't want to lose that train of thought. So you have people who sign these huge contracts. Let's take power contracts. You just sign, or a bridge. You do one bridge, boom. Mm-hmm. 200 billion, 300 billion. You're not really looking at the different aspects of that contract and how they would actually affect change in people's lives. Mm. So the quarry, who are the people being oppressed in the quarry? You have to be able to sign a 500,000 mini contracts that actually affect the lives of people in terms of policy. And that's how they do it with their politics too. They bring everybody to the stage. No, go to their homes. Go to where the concern is. Go to where the issues are, where you know, okay, oh, on this creek, what is going on at this creek? Why do we need to make some, in this community, what do we need to do? So we need to get back down to grassroots politics. And grassroots politics has been so, they've been demoralized, they've been enslaved. It's a situation where if we don't try and uplift it, the country cannot uplift.
Let me, with your interaction with people, I have it on good authority that you went to some places in the north, you were able to meet people at the most basic level. What do you think is in the mind of the average voter? I'm not talking of the elites where we can come on TV and radio and talk all the talk all the Turenchi that they would say, but on the people out there, what exactly do you think want?
I believe that people have a breaking point. You might feel like, you are way down there already, or you don't have any, but you do have, your existence is so powerful that, most of these people are keeping you where they are because they need your thumb. They need your life, pretty much. So people are now of the opinion that, what more could go wrong?
Could go wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's finally make a decision and do what we want to do, because the power is for the people anyway, and it's by the people. So yeah.
Do you think people have that kind of confidence in the electoral process?
They have. There's always a time to try. We did it in June 12, 1993, where people just said, we want this person. We love this person.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and
quite
that was
significant.
The love that drove the campaign.
It's quite significant then that Abiola won in Kano.
Mm-hmm.
Where Tufa came from.
Kano
do
Kano.
That election is not lost on me. That he would win in the candidate's home state.
Because Kano, the people are, they understand politics and they understand they are politically literate. So it's not you can't come with your they like substance. So they ask the right questions. They know what's and they are looking for purpose. They're looking for that idea.
That's what you got from interacting with them.
Yes,
it's going to be very, very interesting. Is there a likelihood your party would team up with other parties at some point?
It's
a strategy to look at.
I do believe so. I do believe we're actually working with a lot of other parties.
Like which party now?
All the parties, actually, in terms of, except the, I think the two, three parties that seem to be on the polls most times.
Are you working with the APC?
We are not.
May I ask why? Or the PDP?
We're not. Ideologists don't.
Choice.
Yes, choice. We have freedom of choice, don't we?
No, I'm not.
Our party, yes.
And
our party,
I just asked, you know.
Yes, and our party is open to people with that are, we're going through a selection process. It's not an election. Mm-hmm. So this selection, what are the options? And if you are not ready to be just railroaded and taking on a journey that's not yours, then where are the options?
Would you be talking to the Labour Party by any chance?
Well, the Labour Party is doing, they're doing what they do, and I believe that, you know, conversation should, you know, find a way. At the end of the day, we have to form a government. We're not forming it's not just party politics. Governance, and this is where we need to create that synergy. Governance and politics have to find a better synergy so that we can actually move the country forward.
You know what? I think that the parties that have a younger disposition to the youth and so on and so forth, I think that they might have to come together to knock out one of these majors.
Most likely. We have to get technical now.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah.
You have to knock out these. I'm not too happy with any of the two of them anyway. I mean, I've said that clearly. They won't let me be, but I keep saying that I have a right of choice. I personally believe that Nigeria needs a new orientation. We can't have been doing the same thing and have gotten to this level of poverty and want to continue.
This is why most times when you go on a campaign, there's always an inspiration. There's always someone or something that inspires you to go through it. But if we have a process now, and this is for the old, the young, the Gen X's, the Gen Z's, the everybody, because this is a mandate. We actually had this mandate 30 years ago. June 12th was 30 years ago. We're in 2023. That mandate was cut short. That was the closest we got to democracy. It was truncated. We have another chance now. The chance is that this person, I would endear everyone to just have Google Prince Adewale Adebayo and listen to some of his messaging and understand.
You would have to pay for this commercial.
And understand.
But is it true? I've been recruited. Somebody said I'm a Gen Z. Am I? What was her name?
Of course. Forever
not
young.
Not you. It says, yeah, I'm a Gen Z in spirit.
Yes.
I don't care if I'm an old 40-doddy, but I'm a Gen Z. I try so hard to look it. But I don't think I've succeeded.
I would rather be called an old soul.
No, I'm a Gen Z. I'm a Gen Z. You know, I have the spirit of the youth. And I have no apologies to make about that. I like to look at the future. A lot of the people in my generation don't look at the future. Some of them I've interacted with are thinking of what they would gain now. You know, this will show more. I have to take care of myself. Now. And I keep telling them, you have children and grandchildren to think of. The majority of the elite in this country are selfish.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they are ever forward looking. Of course, I'm not going to be around forever, but I'd like to look at in my lifetime for my country to
definitely
be as close as it can
definitely
to what it was in the 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
When your dad, ironically, was a minister then.
Yes, and you know, this platform or this conversations that I might be able to have, I'm able to stand on his shoulders because he did not cage our voice either. He ensured that, you know, we have that, and it's remarkable. It's just something I'm so thankful for every day.
Well, I need to say, just in case you think her dad is Lamidi, no, Mr. Lamidi is her second dad. Her real dad is Alhaji Femi Okunu, who's going to be 90 when?
In February.
Wow. Yeah. I've been having a big splash.
We'll plan it.
No, you should be planned by now. Oh, yeah, give Malu.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, the Malu should be eating grass somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Just in case, happy birthday to you in advance. We all look forward to it.
And then he's also getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, actually.
Yes, in the Vanguard.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Wow. I saw that. Yeah, I know about all this. It would be nice. Would it be nice if he could make it to the studio?
Yes, we should.
You see, the reason why I'd love to take him on live is so people can ask him questions and drink from that fountain. Another thing I discover is when I was growing up, okay, I had a lot of elderly people as quote and unquote friends. Of course, these were my daddies, but like your dad, Chief Shobo Shuemimo, and so on and so forth, their group. You could go in, sit with them, and, you know, take from their fountain of knowledge and their principles.
Yeah.
That is missing.
Yeah.
My generation hasn't done that. My generation has been the most selfish generation in the history of Nigeria.
Let me give you this ideology quickly. In the north, in the Borno areas and, you know, northeast, some of those areas, the reason why the terrorism was entrenched into the society was kind of something that I marveled at when I found out.
Oh, really?
So, you know how these things come, there'll be pockets, and then the elite are thinking, you know what, I don't want issues.
Yeah.
Just don't come near us. You know, what do you need? And then negotiations started. This is where you start compromising. So negotiations start and you're like, okay, you know what? We need a bank. We need accounts. And then you just realize that before you know it, they're intertwined. As X goes up, Y goes up. So how do you then counter it? So we have to be so careful about what we compromise and how far we go when it comes. Because once it is entrenched, it's now then difficult to. So this is a time that we must just, you know, divorce these things.
Okay, candidate, you definitely have to come back again and again and again, because you're my person, but I also find the engagement with you. I find a lot of things that are revealed that I thought I knew about and I don't know. You've been out there. I haven't. I've been stuck in the studio for only God knows how many years, and have to go by what I read in papers, but you've done the direct interaction. I wish your candidate all the best. I can accommodate him here.
If
at the very least, not for him to come and he can do his campaigning.
No.
But at least let's know him.
Yes.
Know how he feels about certain things.
And learn some policy twitches.
Encourage him that, look, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. To encourage you too, that it's a marathon. You have a whole life in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad, like you said, it's going to be step by step by step by step. Mm-hmm. Okay,
but we're going to win this one first, sir.
Well, I hope
because it's a marathon, but we're in this. This is
how old
now
is
the
candidate, though?
He's 51.
I hope so. I think we need a generational shift.
Yes. 50s is the new 80s.
I'll be rooting for that. I don't know about it being the new 80s.
It's the new 80s.
And the 80s is the new 50s.
No, 50s is the new 80s.
No, I'm going to be rooting for generational change. There's no doubt about that. I've made that very clear to whoever wants
because
to
because we have the capabilities.
Apart from that, the future of this country belongs to the youth. I remember when your dad was a minister. I mean, he wasn't even in his 40s, was he?
Nope.
He wasn't in his...
He was able to live fully, the full capacity of a man, during your most resourceful and your most productive days.
Yeah.
Why would you be caged somewhere when... I mean, it just doesn't
make
sense.
Yes, he was less than 40, I think.
Yes,
I think I remember when he turned...
Yes.
He was in his 30s.
Yes.
Because, you see, there you go. So I believe in...
And when he finished in government, he went back to practice.
To practice.
Never went back into government. And there are people who were in government with him that are still in government. 40 years.
Irony. Don't give me an example.
Okay.
I don't want wahala. Let me get out of here before you put me in trouble. I've been talking to Khadija Tokunu Lamidi, and, she's of the SDP. You know, she was a candidate in the primaries. But it's still early days yet for her. You know, and hopefully one day it would be nice to have a female president. It would be nice, and I hope it happens in my lifetime.
Oh wow!
At
amen.
Least
women, it's time to get up then.
With my walking stick,
of work
I can
to
go
do.
To the shredding in. I mean, the walking stick.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's good. I trust you, Uncle.
Okay, we use this opportunity to also say to Alhaji Femi Okuno, 90th is round the corner. We'll start the celebrations from now on. Please go and get that cow. You know, go and get that cow and tie it down.
Sorry.
I don't want to hear that the cow got missing. That's where we learned it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow we are going to have Blackie, okay, on Dear Bumi. And on Thursday, we'll continue from where we stopped today. Thank you very much, Khadija.
Everyone, thank you, listeners.
God bless you.
God bless.
Feta, I got to get out of here. What's Up Lagos comes up next. So don't go away. Keep that dial open. See you tomorrow at 9.